All right, so we are in Siman Kufayin Tes, Sif Ches. Start in the Tour / Beis Yosef. Continuing on with the issues of Kishuf. So the discussion here is continuing with regards to the incantations. But another aspect to it. So the Tur is really coming from the Rambam. The Beis Yosef quotes that Rambam. Quotes that. Says Perek Yudat Mihilchos Avodah Zarah. It says, you know, let's look at the Tur.
So
the Tur is Ches / Tes, Ches to Tes, and Siman Kufayin Tes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Rambam.
Yes, it's because of Rambam. Halochi shal hamaka in the Torah itself. Halochi shal hamaka v'kori pasuk min haTorah. So if you are making an incantation to a wound and you call out, you read, recite a pasuk from the Torah, v'chein hakori altinok shelo yivar o maniach sefer Torah utfilin halakatan. So or you call a you say a pasuk to a child so that the child won't be scared, or you place a sefer Torah utfilin on that katan. Lo dailahen shehin b'chlal. It's not just that they are considered in those that are chaverim umenachshim, those that are the incantation sayers. They're not just amongst those, but rather they are even included in kofrim b'torah. She'asin divrei Torah refuas haguf, bein ela refuas nefesh. Plus they've made the Torah into refuas haguf, and it's really only supposed to be refuas hanefesh. Okay, so let's go back to the Beis Yosef now. So the Beis Yosef makes a comment that
it's quoting the Rambam.
That's all quoting the Rambam. So the Beis Yosef makes the point that that's what the Rambam said, but the Rambam is basing that on a Gemara. The Gemara says it's based off of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in the beginning of Perek Chelek, the very first Mishnah of Perek Chelek. So Perek Chelek is the famous Avraham Siegfried song, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Yom Haba. Everybody has a portion of the world to come. So the part that the song doesn't include is Chutzmei, except for the following list of people. So on that list of people are the Kofrim and Napi Korsim, and then on that list is those that do the following. Elush in Lel Chel Gom Abba, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Av Hakori Bisfarm Hachitzonim, so they read books from the outside, whatever that means, but Bahaloch, not for tonight, Bahalochish Al Hamaka. And somebody who does these incantations on a maka, v'omer kol hamachla asher santi b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha, and they say that all of the machla, all the plagues which I placed on Mitzrayim, I'm not going to place onto you. So they have this incantation. Plus, then they say a pasuk in the Torah. So v'itmar ala b'gemara. So the Gemara makes a comment 10 dafim later on kaf alef amud alef in Sanhedrin. I'm Rabbi Yochanan uverochek ba l'fi she'ein maskir b'shem shemayim ala rakia. So the Gemara adds that Rabbi Yochanan says, and they spit, meaning they spit and they say, and then they say a pasuk. Sounds like in that order, they spit and then they say the pasuk, because that's a violation of being maskir shem shemayim al harakika, saying the shem shemayim when you have just spit. So itmar rav amar afilu b'neged saras, even if you don't say a pasuk that has the shem Hashem, rather you just say neged saras. Rabbi Chanina amar afilu vayikra el Moshe, even if they just say the words vayikra el Moshe, so also it doesn't have the shem Hashem. Those that is sufficient to warrant this. This din of ein lahem chelek ne'olam haba, which is pretty serious. So, fine. So umidolo. So the Rambam left something out. Right? The Rambam just said you are to make an incantation with regards to a maka, and then you say a pasuk. So what did the Rambam leave out? The Rambam left out this idea of spitting. So umidolo hiska Rambam rokik. The fact that the Rambam left out the idea of spitting near the mashpale the Rav Rabbi Chanina pulling out Rabbi Yochanan. So why would the Rambam leave out the part about spitting? Because the Gemara, in theory, you could read the Gemara as saying that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan is the only one who said anything about spitting, and Rav and Rabbi Chanina argue on Rabbi Yochanan. The Yaiv Taimu Mishum Dein Maskim Mishin Shemayim Ale Rakia, because they and they they argue on Rabbi Yochanan, who brought that idea of that the problem is saying being Maskim Mishin Shemayim Ale Rakia. But Kamarav Dafil Benegat Saras the Leis Behukra Shem Shemayim Aser. Rabbi Chanina Amar Dafil Vayikra El Moshe the In Ksiv the In Beteva Salal Shem Shemayim. The Gami Nyan Merfua Nega Umaka Afal Pikein Aser Umemela Mashu the Afal Pish Ein Rokik Nami Aser. So according to those second opinions, they're just saying even if you only say these psukim that either have nothing, don't have the Shem Hashem, but only have to do with Refua, or according to the last opinion, don't even have anything to do with refuah, still, without the rakika, the spitting is not necessary in order to be listed amongst those that we say ein lehem chilek liolam haba. So that's how the tour of Beis Yosef is claiming that the Rambam would read this. It's interesting if you look.
I heard a long time ago that people used to say the extra pasuk on Aleinu that a lot of people leave out.
Yes, the Taz makes a comment about that.
And they spit.
Yes.
But that's not, you're not doing, you're just doing it.
The Taz mentioned it. Gotta wait a little bit, but it's in the Taz, yeah. So, Aval Kasha. But we have the following, question. So, what is the question? Aval Kasha. I see in Perek Sheni de Shavuos that there's a Gemara in the second Perek of Shavuos. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, have a Amar Lahan who cry v'gani. That Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to recite various psukim, and then he would go to sleep. So why would he do that? Why did he recite those psukim? We recite those psukim. Well, in theory, we could recite those psukim also. They're included in Kriya Shema Halamita. That's what that Gemara is referring to. So you say psukim in order to provide yourself for protection. So Heichi Avidaki, how can you do that? Vamar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asul Hisrapos Pedivritar. Right? Why is he allowed to recite these psukim in order to protect himself? I thought using Torah as a refuah should be a problem. The Gemara itself asks that question. So the Gemara answers, oh, Lahagin Shai. That it's one thing to say a pasuk as a refu once you're sick already. That's not allowed. But to be lahagin, but to say something as protection for yourself, that would be okay. So ve'ela ki amar aser di'ika maka, idi'ika maka aser v'sulo. So what would then be aser? Ki amar aser di'ika. When is it prohibited? Once you have a maka already. So idi'ika maka aser v'sulo. So if there is a maka already, is it aser and that's it? Meaning there's only an iser. V'hatanat haluchi shel maka ein lehem chelek v'olam haba. Wait a second. Doesn't the mission in the beginning of Perek Chelek include somebody who is lochi shel maka as not having a portion in the world to come? So the Gemara asks that question. So ha itmar Allah. So we answered that. Am Rabbi Yochanan berokik shanu v'shein maskim v'shein shemayim al harakika. So who is that? Oh, that's Rabbi Yochanan, who says, so the Gemara answers by saying, yeah, that there is a way of doing these, saying these psukim in a way that would make you ein lehem chelek v'olam haba. And what is that? Only if you spit. So what does that sound like? So, and that's what the Gemara says. I mean, the Gemara in Shavuos ends there. So the Gemara, what does the Gemara in Shavuos say? The Gemara says, how did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say his psukim before he goes to sleep? The Gemara answers, well, he's saying that as protection. He's not saying it as refuah. Oh, well, if he's... what does it sound like? If he would say it as a refuah, so then what is that? What do we categorize that at? We call that a lav. We call that a prohibition. So the Gemara says, wait a second. I thought that that's what the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says. That's not just a lav. That's not just a prohibition. That's a massive prohibition. The Gemara says, no. That Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that's talking about somebody who also does rakika, who also spits. Our story here in Masechta Shavuos, if you violate this din and not, don't just do it before you go to sleep at night, but do it as a healing, that's just doing it without spitting. So it sounds like the Gemara in Shavuos seems to be passing explicitly like Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, that's the answer to the Gemara in Shavuos. Not only that, you could easily read the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where it quotes those three opinions, as saying, those aren't three opinions, it's Rabbi Yochanan, they all agree about the spitting, and they're just commenting about what pasuk is necessary in order to violate the thing al harakika. So the Beis Yosef is really asking this on himself, saying, why would the Rambam leave out Rakika? So I gave you an answer. Maybe we don't pass in that way, but it sounds like from the Gemara and Shavuos that we do pass in that way. The Beis Yosef brings a couple of more arayas, but concludes by saying, with Sarachian, I have a kasha. I mean, we could ask the question. If you look at the Rambam itself, so the Rambam has a commentary called the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah should be very familiar because we know the author. The author is the Beis Yosef. And he quotes all the Makaros, the same thing, and concludes, he doesn't say, with Sarachian, he concludes by saying, because a different way of saying I don't have an answer for it. Looked up in the back of the Frankel Rambam, didn't see too many theorism. Didn't see the back of the Frankel quote in his firm that I actually owned in order to be able to look up a answer to the question. So that question is out there as to what that story is. There is, by the way, later on the Beis Yosef, but it's really quoted explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, so we'll take a look with regards to that in the Shulchan Aruch. So if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Ayin Tes Sif Ches. So we say, Halochesh al Hamaka. So somebody who does these incantations on a wound, O al Hakola, or somebody that is ill, Virokik, and spits. V'acha kach kore pasuk, min ha-Torah, ein lo chelech l'olam haba. Reads the pasuk from the Torah, so ein lo chelech l'olam haba. So what is, how does the Shulchan Aruch seem to be passing? So he's passing like his question. He's passing against the Rambam. The Rambam left out the idea of Rekika. The Shulchan Aruch is inserting the idea of Rekika. He's saying, no, that's the way of getting ein lo chelech l'olam haba, only if you actually do the spitting as well. V'im eino rokeik isura meik, if you don't spit, there's still an iser, right? How did he know that? That's the Gemara in Shuas. Right before you got to the Ein Lo Chelech L'Olam Haba, so we know from the Gemara in Shavuos already that there is still an Isser included. V'im yesh po sakanas nefashos hakol mutter. However, if there is sakanas nefashos, it becomes mutter. Now, that's interesting, because we're entering into this territory of does it work? Does it not work? Could it work? So it sounds like here we're saying that it could work. Right? It's saying because in the situation of sakanas nefashos, you go ahead and do this. Even though it's an Isser. I mean, right? So that's the way the Shulchan Aruch is passing. Comes the Ramban, continues, V'yishram, the Cholze Eino Aser El Kishakori Pasuk Balashna Kodesh. This is only if you read the Pasuk in Hebrew, Balashna Lazlov, and if you read it in English, Umiyu Birokek, with spitting, Tovli Zar, Bechol Inyan, Befrat, Imaskirim Hashem, She'in Lochel Liolam Haba. But you should be very, very careful before you do the spitting, that you really shouldn't do, because if you do it, Ein Lochel Liolam Haba. So, yes, it's true. Maybe it could even help. That's the implication that we're getting from here, that if you know how to do it right, you can do it. But the action itself is an usher action to do. So if you're really doing it to save someone's life, and you're confident that this could actually work to save someone's life, so it sounds like it's mutter, mishum bikuach nefesh. But if you're doing this as, oh, I read this someplace, and I heard that this guy did it, so I'm going to do it as well, if you don't really believe that it could actually work, you're not really doing it because of bikuach nefesh, then it sounds like not only have you violated prohibition, you violated prohibition that includes with it a Ein Lo Chelech L'Olam Haba title, which is not so easy to get. This is one of the ways
you can get it. I still have trouble understanding why, if it actually, they actually think it's going to work, then why is it Ein Lo Chelech L'Olam Haba? I mean, obviously, if you think it has efficacy, well, why do we punish so severely?
No. There's space in the middle. Meaning, if you don't assume that it's going to work, wait one second. I'm sorry. So, if it's just for refuah, I mean, the guy has a headache or the guy has so then to do it, so that's usser. It means it's an usser action to do. Oh, I think you're asking why should it even be an usser action to do?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so let's just clarify. That's usser to do, and there's no pikuach nefesh to help you out, so therefore it's an isser d'oraisa. Isser d'oraisas don't fall by the wayside just because you broke your arm or you have some kind of other wound. Then there is the idea that it's pikuach nefesh, if somebody's life is in danger, well, this is an isser. So you'll have to, okay. So Joel is asking, well, hold on a second, why should it be a problem in the first place? So the Taz comment, so the Taz is really on the next sif. Let's do the next sif, plus they really go together. The next sif simply says, Tinok shenifka ein koron alav pasuk ve'im manichan alav sefer Torah. If you have a Tinok that is injured, so you can't, don't read him the pasuk, and you can't put a sefer Torah on top of the child. That's not allowed. So why is that? So the Taz makes a comment here: the Az tzarich l'refua, the divrei Torah lo nisein l'refuas haguf el l'refuas hanefesh. The divrei Torah was not given for refuas haguf, rather only for refuas hanefesh. Masha'in kein beberia, as opposed to somebody who is healthy. She'ain tzarech el lahagin shelo yichla bezeh mutter lahagin. Right? So if it's only given for health, if it's not given for health, it's only given for ruchnius, so why are you allowed to? Why was Rabbi Shuvan Levi okay saying it before he goes to sleep at night in order to protect himself? So that the Taz is saying, no, that's okay because that's the way you're protecting yourself. I mean, you're raising up your ruchnius level in order so that you be protected. Right, lahagi b'divrei Torah. Mitamzeh korin kriya shma al mitasov. That's why we say kriya shma al mita. Lahagi nalav b'layah, to protect you at night. V'dover pashat, however, right, she'im yesh sakanas nefashos b'tino shenifka, shemutter afil lihisrapos b'divrei Torah, that with a child, if it's really sakanas nefashos, it would be permissible to heal with b'divrei Torah. Kamo shemuskar b'sif ches, as we mentioned in sif ches, which is actually what we're reading right now. I'm not sure why. That's an odd thing for him to say. It must be cut and pasted somehow. But that's the theory. That's what the Taz is saying. That the Taz is saying that it's only permissible to do things that are the Torah wasn't given to give us health. The Torah was only given to give a tablet of Ruchnius. I, there are things in it that perhaps can give you health. So it sounds like that's just a misuse of the Torah. That's like a bizillion of Torah. You're using the Torah only to cure your headache or to help your wound. That's not that. That's just the Torah has more sanctity than that. So in the Nishmas of Ram, he raises the issue and says, hold on a second. So are you allowed to say Tehillim by somebody who's ill? If you visit somebody in the hospital, are you allowed to say Tehillim there?
Yeah, there's a meeting.
So that perhaps is that a problem? So he gives a explanation here. So he gives an explanation here that with regards to saying Tehillim for a patient, the minchas go to minchas chinuch, that this can't be compared to this. This is talking about uttering a charm, that's talking about tefillah. So Chazal have ruled that one may not use the Torah as a cure. When one says Tehillim, it arouses the soul to seek Hashem's protection. As opposed to the Torah itself being used as a cure, here you're using the Torah to raise the ruchnius of a person, and then he would deserve to be saved. To put one's entire trust in him, fix the fear of Hashem in his heart, and place all one's dependence on his loving kindness and goodness. This awakening of the soul will lead to the protection. This is what the Gemara answered, that since Rabbi Yeshua believed did it to protect himself, it's allowed. It meant that the Torah does not forbid one to recite these things so as to arouse his soul to the merit of doing so will stand by him and protect him. He goes on and quotes a Marsha on the Gemara in Shabbos that he writes that just as there is a cure for illness, so too there is a spiritual one. Just as there is a cure for physical illness, there is a cure for a spiritual one. For Chazal tells that the antidote to evil inclination is Torah, and although one may not use the Torah to cure, one may use it to protect. Gemara tells that one who has a headache, there is a Gemara that says one who has a headache should delve into the Torah and be cured. So it says to Marsha, it doesn't mean you're learning, the words of the Torah are what cures you. It means the learning of the Torah is what cures you. That the learning of the Torah raises your spiritual level, so in that case you're going to merit a cure. So just to use the Torah, just to use the specific psukim, or just to use a specific words in the Torah as a cure, so it kind of sounds like that's aser. I mean, that's not allowed. To go to somebody who can pronounce this incantation. Yes, they are Divrei Torah, and maybe it even works according to the way the world works that we don't understand. That's not allowed. That's what the Yisur is.
So in the Mishnah, I recall in Shabbos, it has the amulets.
Amulets are next. Amulets are in Sif Yud Aleph. Yud Beis. You're actually not allowed to put psukim in an amulet. Amulets are not supposed to contain psukim. Rather, they're supposed to contain references to Shabtai Tzvi. No, that's maybe not.
So it used to be
amulets are mentioned later on in the Siman.
Used to be that people used to spit a lot more than they do now, apparently.
Yes.
Now I remember when I was growing up, there was a sitter, and the sitter said, "If you're going to kiss the Torah, you should spit and then kiss the Torah." I think, but don't kiss the Torah and then spit. I never really assumed it was because kissing the Torah and spitting is like you're trying to get rid of the taste of your mouth or something.
That's it. I mean, this is
but
the
this
opposite.
This is just the opposite.
This ain't the opposite, yeah. They're the reason. I mean, you're saying spit before most people's mouths were filled with tobacco or something like that.
I don't know.
Not to spit after shows like it's just a strange demonstration, but that doesn't seem to be this halacha.
Something different. Okay.
Yes. Okay, to backtrack a little bit, to go to the earlier Taz, the Hamish Tachim Behel Varek, this is this Taz, the Taz Sif Hei. So it says, Varokhek Va'achar Kach Kore. So why do you do that? Atam, the Kiman Shemaskir, Shem Shemayim, Al Harakika, Havi Bizayun Chas Vashal. Right? To say the Shem Shemayim went right after you've spit, or when there's spit laying out there, that's considered a Bizayun. Val Kane. Don't ask the question about the spitting that they do before Vanachnu Korim. Disham Hakol Yodim, everybody knows. Shirakika Hil Bizayon Hagilulim. Shalobikal Chavim, Vikavut Shemaim Shemaskar Achakach. And it's Kavut Shemaim afterwards. What's this? You got it? Right. You say Shehem Ishtachim Hel Varik, right? Shehem Ishtachim Hel Varik, least probably Mel Yushia, and maybe, I'm sure, I think they spit at Larik. I think they spit at Rick. So there are still a few words before you get to the Vanachnu Korim, but still, so you're spitting before Vanachnu Korim. That's a Taz's problem. No, it's okay. Everybody knows exactly what you're doing. I was reading in Mark Shapiro's book on changing the immutable, on his book about all of the censorships in Hasfarim over the years. So that's for this year on Wednesday about the Avos and Imos. So he talks about a lot of things in his introduction. So he references this issue also. He says, I'm not going to talk about self-censorship to protect ourselves from the non-Jews, and then goes on and gives you three pages about about this issue, about excising the Anachnu Korim, sorry, not the Anachnu Korim, but excising the Shehem Yishtachavim from the Siddurim, whether it should be in or shouldn't be in, or in parentheses, what that means, whether we should say it, not say it, etc. So fine. But here, this is a Taz. He says, don't worry, the spitting thing is, he says, is mutter, at least according to these halachos. There is in Rav Schechter's Sefer on, which one? He has an article about Kavah Basic Nessus. Where he quotes from the Rav that when the Beis HaMikdash is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's house, so therefore Hashem makes the rules, the Beis HaMikdash is Hashem's house, therefore Hashem makes the rules, while Beis HaKnesses is the Medrash describes as Hashem is coming to us. So if Hashem is coming to us, so it's our house, and so we get to make the rules. So whatever are the rules that are in our house, so those should be the rules that are in the shul. So he talks there about spitting. That spitting, in theory, I think, was usher in the Beis HaMikdash, but is permitted, plus it's permitted in, people do it in their houses. So that's the classic understanding. The people who do it in their houses and people who do it in shul. That was the famous fight in one of the issues, I think, that set KJ apart when Rabbi Lichtenstein, Rabbi Lichtenstein found KJ, but I think when the senior Rabbi Lichtenstein became the rabbi in KJ, he got rid of all the spittoons, caused the major, major ruckus, but we're not going to do that anymore, we're not going to do that in shul anymore.
They put a sign on, someone put a sign on, do not spit in the sink. I don't know where they wanted you to spit. They didn't have spittoons.
Okay.
I didn't understand what
they were talking. Have it on the floor.
So then the other example that the Rav had was wearing galoshes in shul. He's very upset at people wearing galoshes in shul because people don't wear it in their houses. So if you're not going to wear it in your house, you're not going to wear it in shul either.
I talk about people traipsing with their boots and they melt the snow on the carpet.
Yeah. So now I don't wear boots and I tread the snow on my shoes on the carpet.
Wear outer shoes and you take off.
I don't wear outer shoes.
All right, so that is.
It's okay for people to spit on the floor?
Yeah, of course.
But don't work on it.
No, I'm serious.
Make sure you spit on the spots that are dirty. So okay.
Maybe that was a dirt floor.
Oh, I'm sure that these are dirt floors.
Yeah,
but ours is
carpet.
Not. Ours is not.
We shouldn't be spitting on the floor. Yes.
Fine. Okay, so there is an interesting Kiske Shuvi here. Halochish Es Hamaka. So the Lokesh Hamaka of Piskei Tshuva Hey comments Vitshumas. I don't know who that is. Aleph Zion. So Panim Iros Chelik Aleph Simon Lamed Vav. So Kasav Hatinok Shelo Haya Yachol Lishan. That if you have a baby that's not able to go to sleep, Ziva Omru Hanashim. So the Nashim, the women say, here's what you do. So Yesh Refuah, that you can heal the baby by saying Lachtoch Tzipor Neyada Veraglav. Cut off its fingernails and its toenails. Of exasarosav and a little bit of its hair, v'litein toch beitza, mix it with an egg, v'laniach be'ilon arava, and then put it on a arava bush. So that's the suggestion that's out there. So the aser lasos king, you're not allowed to do that. So v'rayaso mirashi chulin daf ayin zayin, I couldn't figure out which Rashi was referring to. The chol she'in al hachol mamish aser ayin sham heitiv. Based on this Rashi and chulin, that the only refus that are allowed are when you're doing it to the chola itself. But if you're doing something not to the chola itself, that sounds like it's a very good sign that that's darkei amori rather than actually a refuah. right? Things that are not that are done far away from the chola, that sounds like it should be prohibited. He quotes a couple of my makomos here. At the end, says v'ayin ba'or chayim siman shin aleph sifchav zayin. I looked that up. That's referring to wearing like an onion or wearing some kind of tooth around your neck on Shabbos. So it actually permits it. So why is that allowed? That's not really to the guf. That's something that you're wearing on the guf. So you have to work that out why that's allowed, but that's what he's referring to. But that's an interesting klal. I mean, if you're not actually doing it to the person itself, so then it's right, like, you know, you might be a redneck if, so it might be darkly amori if you do these kinds of if you, what you're doing has nothing to do with the chola, but rather is off the chola. One other point that I noticed is that there is a minhag, right, in Sif Tes, it commented, right, Tinok Shenifka in Korn Ala Pasif, Imanichim Alav Sefer Torah. Don't place on a Sefer Torah. Why is that? Why can't you place a Sefer Torah there? So that actually said comments in the Beis Yosef, but it's not Kavod Torah. It's a problem of Kavod Torah, using the Torah in a fashion. So there is a minhag. When I was in Poland, we visited the Kever of the Noam Elimelech. Familiar? Heard of Noam Elimelech? Noam Elimelech, I think, third generation Hasidus, is in Leshensk. From what I understand, it's becoming one of these Uman type things. Like, now there's a hotel there and a mikveh there, etc. When I was there, it was just nothing. It was just a really, you know, barely with electric shtetl. But there is a minhag of the Noam Elimelech that he to keep a sefer of the Noam Elimelech in the room during childbirth. That's considered a sim, that's going to be a safe delivery, so to do that. So I remember them saying that you can buy, I actually looked on the internet, if you can buy it on the internet, so no, you can't buy it on the internet, but apparently you can buy, for a lot of money, a page of an original printing of a Noam Elimelech to keep in the room. Like, that's considered part of the siman. So in my little search today for this page, I saw somebody make the comment that if you do keep it in your room, it should be double wrapped. Why should it be double wrapped? Based on this din in Shulchan Aruch, that those things that are being kept in the room during childbirth, that's considered like an unclean situation. So if you have svarim with you, so svarim should be out. The svarim should be double wrapped. Double wrapped is a way of getting out of those kedusha problems.
Bit of a jump from a sefer Torah to a printed sefer.
Well, it's talking about svarim. I mean, it's talking about Shem Hashem. I think that's the makor of any kedusha in a sefer Torah is going to be Shem Hashem. So it's true. There are extra requirements with regards to how to get rid of a sefer Torah, which is why we generally just don't do it and just kind of find extra place in the Aron Kodesh for them. You have to put in like a separate. I mean, you know, with a sefer, you could just put in the ground with a mace or by itself. But with the Sefer Torah, there's a specific way of getting rid of it. It has to be put in like its own case, and so people just generally don't get rid of Sefer Torah. They just find the basement to
more
leave
it. There's also Sefer Torah in your room.
What did they do in Shensk before he wrote Svarim?
They had trouble with children having their women who died during childbirth.
So all those years that people lived in.
Sometimes it happened.
I think it happened everywhere in those days. Especially before Semmelweis.
Yeah.
So wise because nobody listened to me.
Oh, Missouri, it was in this Piskei Tshuva. Piskei Tshuva and Vav, that's right, picked up on it. The Piskei Tshuva comments, I bear hative, the Afka Baleka Sakanis Nefashos. That, again, this is only if it's not Sakanis Nefashos. That's when it's not allowed. But if you think keeping the Sefer Torah there would be allowed, would help with regards to Sakanis Nefashos, it would be okay. Similar to before. The Chain Kasav Sefer Be'er Sheva, Perek Chelik Daf Kufches. There you go. The Mutter Lahaniach Sefer Torah Al Isha Hamakasha Lelid. So Be'er Sheva says you're allowed to take a Sefer Torah and put it on a woman that is having difficulty with childbirth. V'likros Aleha Psukim, and to read the Psukim. Mishum Sheish Bo Sakanas Nefashos. Because in that situation there is Sakanas Nefashos. V'ayim B'tshuvas Chinuch Beis Yosef, Simon Ayin Aleph, Shekasav de Einu Nachon Lezalzal Bekavu Sefer Torah Kolkach Veloya Viu Sefer Torah Ella VePesach Chider Shel HaYoledes. That you shouldn't bring it all the way in, just bring it to the doorway. Shes Chus HaTorah Yagin Aleha Velo Linyan Segula or Refua. Right, not as a Segula or Refua, but just that you bring the Torah. So the Torah, like I mentioned before, will raise the spirituality of that person and the extra Zechuyos, and then perhaps they will be saved. The Chol Shekein Shel Litin Biadayim O Lefoscha. But certainly not to put it into the hands of the woman. That would be not right. That's why I was wondering about the Noam El Enach. Should Noam El Enach be held by the woman? No, the woman shouldn't hold it. Should be put on the side, and perhaps.
So the machlokes between the Sefer Be'er Sheva, whoever that is.
Right, Be'er Sheva suggests that it should be okay, and the Tshuvas Chinuch seems to say that one shouldn't do that. Yeah. Right, Sif Yud comments on the Haberia Mutter Likro Psukim Lahagin Allah Miyam Azikin, that Haberia is permitted to read the Psukim so that they'll be protected from the Mazikim. That's Kriya Shema Lamita. Limdod Ha'azor Veluchu Shalab Mutter Vatul Shabbos. Interesting. You're allowed to, I think this is referring to like taking your temperature, measuring your. Measuring your temperature is permitted even on Shabbos. So Shabbos is a chiddush, right? The Rama then says, "Va'ayin orachayim simin shin vav, v'huadin shar lochem, va'ayin orachayim simin shin aleph, eiz alachas v'kamiya aser." And see, Shabbos, which kamiyas are going to be prohibited? What's it saying? That you're allowed to, it should be an issur of taking temperature on Shabbos, measuring anything should be a problem on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So that's permitted, mishum refuah.
So we're not talking about the thermometer.
Yeah, using a thermometer. So it's mothering using a thermometer. Really? For the case of for the case of refuah, yeah. So he's doing some kind of measurement, a measurement of the heat. I was listening to a shir having with regards to the Wednesday night stuff where he commented that there were those that were chokshesh by using a thermometer that you might be over ambitious, because you're putting something in the thermometer that is kali habishal, that's going to that expands quickly. No, it's not really cooking it, it's mercury, it's not cooking. But that was suggestion that was put out there.
I don't think they have mercury thermometers anymore. I'm not sure what they have in them, but I guess the mercury.
I mean, nowadays or the old days?
No, nowadays
they just use electric thermometers.
Yeah, so can you use an electric thermometer, right?
No. Well, unless. Probably not. I mean, I'm not sure what really changes.
We have the old kind that you stick in your mouth.
Yeah, well, you have old things.
You're old. You can't buy that in a store?
We have electric thermometers in schools. They all have electric thermometers. I'm not sure you're going to find too many mercury thermometers anymore.
It wasn't mercury.
It was mercury.
Originally it was mercury.
They replaced it.
Using an electric one, if you could tell me that there's a real reason. The problem with the thermometer, you're not really healing somebody with a thermometer, you're analyzing them. So if you're going to tell me that, well, if they're 101, I'm going to give them this, but if they're 103, I'm going to give them that, so then maybe there's room to say that you should use an electronic thermometer. But otherwise, it's hard to see what the source for it has to do with. The Shach Yud Aleph has an interesting discussion about using the names of Hashem. This actually goes back to the previous part about in Tziv Ches, about you're reading the Pasuk. So the end is, it talks about using what is considered Shem Hashem. What about if Shem Hashem in English, or in Yiddish or German? So he comments at the end, he asks the following question. The Shach asks, why is it that here it seems like you're makbid on it only being a problem if it's in Hebrew, but with regards to bring things into a bathroom, there we're makbid even if it's in English. Right? Well, what's the distinction here where you say you can't recite the psukim after spitting? It's only specifically if it's Lashon HaKodesh. While by other things, we're machmir for other things. So he we're machmir even for English. He says that this is considered with regards to the karis, with regards to this is with regards to that din, you would need to violate Lashon HaKodesh. But with regards to other things, one could be we would be machmir in general. We're not going to say you lose your Olam Haba for saying and bringing an English Tvar Torah into the bathroom, but it's still something that should be avoided.
What if you're reading a novel in the bathroom and many of them do have the word God in there? Sometimes.
Yeah. So he comments here towards the end of the shach. He says about Atzmacha. He thinks that really is maker than mutter to erase something that is in English. Could go in got b'loshon Ashkenaz, bug b'loshon Poland, v'Rusia, v'chiyotzi b'zeh. Mashalo hiviu aposkim ha'chderashi k'haygavna matzinu tova. Hilkach ani omer vade l'chadchila yishli zahar b'chol mashlech. Really, you should be careful as much as you can. V'chim mashkasu gam harav. Aval hichad lo efshar. It's not possible. It's not possible. I'm not sure what that means. It's not possible. I mean, you have to. Yeah, what happens to all the newspapers and stuff?
Yeah,
so I'm not doing Hilchos Shemus tonight.
Okay. So I'm not sure what does measuring have to do with superstitions?
I think that's why I wasn't able to find a great translation, but I was just looking in the Ramah. The Ramah was connecting it to that. So why is it so? I think he's just saying, with regards to refuah, it's okay. I mean, that's not considered some kind of superstitious practice. That's for the purpose of refuah, and it's okay. And therefore, it's also okay on Shabbos because it has something to do with refuah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. Yud Gimel and Yudal talk about being going to the cemeteries and trying to conjure up the dead, or getting a dead person to come back to you after they're dead, telling you what it's like. We'll save that for next week.
What does Azor mean?
So Azor is like an area.
It stopped, right?
Azor is what?
It's an area, isn't it?